The following program is produced by the Tech Talk Radio Network.
The new iPhones are going to use facial recognition technology to unlock your phone. Facial recognition technology on the new iPhone, yeah. Of course, if you live in Los Angeles, the iPhone will store up to 6 of your previous faces so that you have...
Hey, everybody out there in Radio Land, this is James Young from the rock band Styx. If you are technically challenged, if you got trouble with that computer of yours, because Lord knows I do, you need to listen to Tech Talk Radio.
Welcome to Tech Talk Radio, another week of computers,
technology,
and the internet. I'm Andy Taylor.
I am Justin Lemmy. Welcome.
You can reach us anytime by calling us at area code 520-204-1754. We got rid of the 800 number and passed the savings on to you. So again, that's 520-204-1754. If you have a question for the show, you're thinking, I want to ask those guys a question, but I don't know how to reach them. Well, yeah. Now you know.
Well, you can also find us on Facebook too. Facebook.com/Tech Talkers, or just send us a tweet at Tech Talk Radio.
Yeah, just put at Tech Talk Radio and then your question. And does anybody else see it? Like if you feel silly and you're thinking, Gianna, I want to ask something, but you know, we'll never make fun of you.
Yeah, if you start a tweet directly with at, like Tech Talk Radio,
right?
It'll only go to, you know, our page, and I'm not sure. I don't think people would have to really dig down to be able to see it, like as in a public thing. But if they start their tweet with a period, then an at Tech Talk Radio, it'll appear on their own timeline. It's this little trick people do when they want to send a message directly to somebody, but they want it on their timeline as well. You start the tweet with a period,
right,
and then the at. That way it'll show up on your own timeline.
See, I saw a movie over the weekend, and I'm gonna totally recommend it. And I tweeted to the guy who was in the movie. But then I felt like I don't want to look like a total uber geek by saying, God, I loved your movie and blah, 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 you know, mm-hmm. to a celebrity. And I'm thinking, God, I hope people don't see that because it's going to make me look kind of goofy. But then I didn't know what the... But okay, so let me tell you about the movie. It's called The Big Sick. Have you seen it yet?
I've heard of it.
All right. If you watch Silicon Valley, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so you know the Indian guy that's on that show?
Yeah.
He's mm-hmm. pretty funny, right?
Yeah.
Well, his name is Kumail. Well, he is the star of this movie, The Big Sick, and it's based on a true story. Apparently how him and his other half, they connected, and he falls in love with this girl, and it's the cultural differences while he was doing his stand-up and all that. Because, you know, he got into Silicon Valley and Portlandia and some other stuff afterwards. So they made a mm-hmm. movie about it. Judd Apatow did it. And it's got a lot of heart. It's really a really cool movie. So, you know, fans of Silicon Valley should see it. Fans of comedy, romantic comedies, they should see it. I even think Misa would like it. I think she would.
Yeah, she'll probably end up crying.
Yeah. And then she watches you to see if you're crying, right?
Does she give you
flack, like if you're watching, you know, like a Hallmark commercial or something, and you know, you shed a little tear?
I don't.
because you're a dad now, so you're more sensitive. That just goes with the territory.
Yeah, I still haven't done that. I still haven't shed a tear over something like that, no.
Yeah, give it a little time. Yeah,
maybe.
It happens to the best of you. You can also follow us on iTunes, Spreaker, TuneIn, and now Google Music as well. You can listen to us there. Just go to iTunes and do a search for Tech Talk Radio and then subscribe. And, you know, for years I said, oh, we don't need to be on iTunes. Remember that? I said, oh, we mm-hmm. don't. Yeah, and then once we did, it was like our subscriber base went way up. I was like, wait a minute. So it does work. It is helpful.
Yeah.
Although the featured show right now, if you go in there and you see it looks like a little radio and it's blue, that's not us. That's the guys from Australia. And there is a couple services out there that link to iTunes for getting their feeds on webcasts. And they keep pulling them, not us. So, and they haven't done a show since. They're great guys. They were great guys. They haven't done a show since 2012.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So
you should be able to hear that, though. If you start listening and they're talking about stuff that happened back in 2012, you're probably like, this is probably not the Tech Talk Radio I'm looking for.
Yeah. And they all have that accent, too.
I love that, too.
G'day. Today we're talking about computers.
It's actually a pretty good accent there. I'll give that to you.
Crikey. All right. Today, though, actually, we do want to talk a little bit about, I guess the technology behind the big announcements this past week. If you were tuned in, you know, Tuesday, they did all of the announcements from Apple. The new Steve Jobs Center, which I guess was really nice looking. I don't know. We don't get invited to those things. I don't know why, but
I probably wouldn't go even if I did.
Yeah, it's kind of a way, you know. It's kind of a trip. Cupertino, but I mean, it looked beautiful. But they announced some new products from Apple. One I really got excited about. I was like, wow, I love this. I love the way they're pitching it. I love what the product can do. I think I need to get me one of these. You know what I'm
and
talking
that
about?
That would be what?
Not the iPhone. Not the iPhone 8. Not the iPhone 10 or X. The Apple Watch. The Apple Watch 3 looks really cool. And you know, their big selling tool on that really is health. Health and fitness.
See, I'm sorry. I was going to wait for this, but I just really got to say, honestly,
go ahead.
You know, Apple at one point, you know, years ago when Steve Jobs was leading Apple.
Yeah.
I mean, Apple was an innovator. I mean, they came out with the best things, the most amazing things that nobody would even think of.
Yeah.
But now they come out with this stuff and they tout it as being like, this is revolutionary. And I'm just sitting here going, sure. Android did that like 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, I was like, what is so revolutionary about Apple anymore? They're not. The only thing is what really bothers me is they come out with these new things, like you just said, this Apple Watch with revolutionary health benefits.
Now, wait a minute. I didn't use the word revolutionary.
They
have
used it.
Yeah.
Revolutionary health benefits and everything like that. And it's like, yeah, again, the Samsung Gear has been like that. The Huawei smartwatch, the Android Wear.
Right.
I mean,
How about this one, too? And anybody who knows Android will know this. They are also touting the fact that the watch now does not need to be tethered to the device itself anymore. It used to be you had to have, for the smartwatch, like the Apple Watch 2, you had to have your iPhone nearby, and you would use the services tethered via Bluetooth to your watch, to your phone, and that's how you could make calls with your watch, etc.
Samsung Gear 2.
Exactly. Gear 2. And that's what surprised me so much when I want to say it was AT&T that sent us over the Gear 2, and we looked at it. And I remember forgetting my phone, because they had sent a phone for us to test and everything. And then suddenly realizing my watch made phone calls.
Yeah.
Was like, well, I mean, wait a minute.
It's granted that you do have to have a separate data plan. It's usually not as obviously as expensive as like a normal cell phone data plan. It's like a couple extra bucks a month, but it is a standalone SIM card in your watch. But again, Samsung has done this years ago, and Apple's just like, oh yeah, look at what we did.
Well, you know, and that's one of the problems. And we're not, I'm not knocking Apple. I liked what they had to say about the Apple Watch 3. The selling point was the health features. The selling point was, you know, you got a elevated heartbeat, elevated heart rate. You're just sitting there. It tells if you're not active, then you shouldn't have an elevated heart. Trust me, somebody who's been through that, it's like, wait a minute, something's going on. Your watch can give you that information. And all the kinds of stuff. And they've even, but that's going to be part also of the OS that's replacing the Watch 2, which is cool. But the Watch 3 has some of these new innovations like LTE service on it. So that means you can make a phone call untethered to your phone. It will work off the same phone number as your iPhone.
Yeah, it's
so
just a separate data plan.
Yeah, and you do it through your carrier. So whether your carrier is Verizon, Sprint, T-Mobile, or AT&T, you'd be able to do that. But I did get a little frustrated, and I have to imagine that you as an Android user, I am an iPhone user, but I do understand what Android has to offer, especially now because I've been testing out some really great devices. It's got to be frustrating when, you know, somebody says, oh, gosh, this is so great. Apple's got this. And you want to say, we've had this for a while over
in
the Android world.
That's exactly what is bothering me. Exactly. Because and now the thing is, okay, for instance, their one big selling point of this new Apple iPhone is wireless charging. Okay, Samsung has had that for a good almost 5 years now. We've had wireless charging. But what really upsets me is the fact now that it's come out for Apple, everybody's going to get on board with it and be like, oh, we need to revolutionize the whole industry and make everything wireless now because Apple did it. What the hell? I mean, Samsung has already done that.
Yeah.
So why is it just that when Apple comes along with it, everybody's like, oh, they start to suddenly listen and they go along with that industry and they change the industry, like the USB-C or getting rid of the headphone jack. Now they're getting rid of the home button on the iPhone. It's like now everybody's going to be like, oh gosh, now we got to get rid of the buttons on the phone.
This is one of those things too. And I did the same thing, Justin, because AT&T sent us over the, let's see, it's the Samsung Galaxy 8 Active.
Mm-hmm.
Which honestly,
S8 Active. Right?
S8 Active, yeah. Which is honestly not made of all glass, mm-hmm. which I like better because trust me, as somebody who's shattered his iPhone, and I it's funny, whenever they show it on TV, I want to hide it. It's like having a missing tooth.
Yeah.
It's like really bad. I just want to, let me just turn it this way. But the S8 Active, you know, it has a strong back. I mean, you could see that.
Yeah.
I'm showing mm-hmm. that to you right now. One of the things it's missing is a home button. It doesn't have a home button.
Yeah. And guess what? Guess which one came out first? The S8.
S8 Samsung. Active. It's been out for a little while. I think they introduced this back in August.
I came across a very interesting quote last night when I was looking at Reddit and stuff. It was a quote by Bill Gates about Steve Jobs. Now, this was way back in the day, you know, when in terms of the movie, you know, Silicon Valley Pirates. Pirates of Silicon Valley. Where, you know, Microsoft, you know, or they hired... Steve Jobs hired Bill Gates and Microsoft to develop apps for Apple. And then Microsoft kind of started getting really interested in what the inner workings of Apple were. And they were kind of like, well, what are they doing with it? And Steve Jobs was like, nah, they're not smart enough to recreate, you know, what we've got. And all of a sudden they release Windows. And then Steve Jobs calls Bill Gates in and is like, you're ripping us off, Bill. And Bill just sat there with a smug look on his face and goes, actually, there's a different way of looking at it, Steve. Imagine that we both have a very rich neighbor named Xerox. And one day I try to break in to go steal his TV and I find out that you've already stolen it. That's exactly what's going on. It's like, Steve Jobs is sitting here accusing Microsoft of ripping them off back in the day. Now, Apple is just basically ripping off every other company and then come out and saying, look what we did. We're so revolutionary. Like, no, you're not.
It's funny because there are so many people that are ingrained in the iOS. They're ingrained in using the Apple device. And it's funny because I asked my wife, I said, hey, what do you think? I mean, because she sees me just loving this Galaxy, this S8 Active. Mm-hmm. I really do like it. And I said, do you think you could switch to the Android platform? She said, no. She doesn't even use iTunes. But she is just so comfortable with that. But the problem is, I don't know if you've seen this. You know, Apple slowly has been moving away from the things that have made us comfortable as users. Number one, of course, getting rid of the headphone jack. We know about that, right? Yeah. That changed. Mm-hmm. And now the home button. Let me tell you, I'm using this Active. It took me a little while to get used to that. Most Apple users, and it's not a statement that's negative, are used to one thing.
Yeah.
And so what's going to happen is there's going to be confusion as to how do you make the home button work? You know, why is it like that? I think it's going to be confusing for a lot of users. And it's nice. It's going to have that whole screen. But again, I think they're also changing. The iOS is also changing for those, even those users that have the 7 or the 6S or the 6. They're going to see some changes in the actual, you know, operating system on their phones that might confuse them as well.
Yeah.
So
Apple doesn't seem to, when they do updates to the iOS or even just to the macOS, they don't make drastic changes. They make subtle changes. So it kind of, and it's over time. I've seen how things will change, and then just finally disappear or get phased out.
Right.
And I think that's Apple's way of keeping people comfortable by introducing changes in a small fashion to the point where then they can comfortably then kind of phase out that thing because everybody's kind of already used to not really using it type of thing.
Right.
You know, but let's talk a little bit about their iPhones that they released. They announced two different new iPhones,
right.
the iPhone 8, and then they introduced the new iPhone X, or it's actually pronounced iPhone 10.
Well, actually three phones, if you think about it, because they got the 8, which is in the two models, the 4... What is it? A 4.7 and then a 5.5 screen?
Oh, screens, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then they've got the iPhone. And it's weird because yesterday everybody was saying they're calling this the iPhone X. All right? Everybody was saying the X. So I thought, okay. So I hear a guy in NBC News today calling it the iPhone 10. And I'm thinking, no, you boob, it's called the X.
No, it's
no, it's the 10.
It's 10. Yeah. Just like Mac OS, everybody said Mac OS X. No, it's Mac OS 10.
And now the reason for the 10 is because it honors Steve Jobs, who I guess 10 years ago introduced the iPhone.
So yeah, they basically just skipped 9 and went right to 10.
Right.
So they went from 8 and then with two different sizes and then a 10. The thing, the big difference about the 10 is it uses face ID. They call it Face ID.
Again, isn't this something we've seen on the Android systems?
Actually, yeah. I don't know about Face ID. I think so.
We do
yeah.
on the Galaxy. On the
actually,
Galaxy,
yes, you can. On the Galaxy, yes, you can. That's yeah. right. I forgot about that. You can just look at your phone and it will unlock it.
Right.
Wow. Big revolutionary there, Apple.
Now,
the best thing about it was they failed during their test.
I saw that. Yeah.
The guy went to go look at it and it failed, and he's like, "Oh,
you got to give him high five though on his recovery. He just kept going like no problem." Here's
dude,
what you
all
do.
they did was just they cut the video feed and unlocked the phone. They basically merged in the picture of a phone that was unlocked.
Yeah,
and then he hit up and typed in his passcode, and then they went back to the thing so he could go navigate. If you watch closely, he never even unlocked it with his face. It was just they swapped out the image real quick on the screen to make it look like he unlocked it.
What is
it?
He made some kind of comment too. He said, "Yeah,
let's go to the backup." That's what he said. Let's go to the backup. I'm just laughing. And not only that, but their stock crashed after that. It went down. I think it was 5 points.
Oh, you're
points.
Kidding! I thought they spiked.
No, the stock. Crash or not crash? I shouldn't say crash.
Well, they can't go with just Face ID.
I know, but that was the big thing they were touting about this thing, and then their stock actually closed lower. I think it was 163 when it opened, and it was like 158 when it closed.
All right, what is the? Let me ask you this. Okay, so what is the thing if they introduced an iPhone like this 8 or this 10 that would make you say, "Oh my God, I gotta
I'll tell
have
you
this.
Right now. I'll tell you right now.
Yeah.
An iPhone that I could roll up like a piece of paper and put it in my pocket. Seriously, a flexible phone, which is coming out at some point, and I guarantee you Samsung's going to come out with it first. Actually, to speaking of that, I do have an article here from CTA Smart Brief, the Consumer Technology Association, that did say Samsung announces that they could have a bendable phone debut in 2018, which means in 2019, Apple will come out with a bendable phone.
Now, for me, it would be battery life. For
battery
me,
life? How about an iPhone that runs Android? I'll buy that. I'm sorry, but Android is just a far superior operating system.
Well, are they going to have a wireless charging mat, which is sold separately? Oh, by the way,
the best thing about the wireless charging. Yeah. Yeah, it is so separate. Best thing about it is like, no longer do you have to carry around the charging cord. No, now you just got to carry around a charging mat. You're actually Maybe having to carry it, on they, more stuff because you have to plug the charging mat into
wait,
something.
Wait, come on. They can make it out of the sleeves of your sweater. You know, make it out of your jeans. So you just put it on your jeans and it's charging.
Actually, you know what? That makes me a good idea. If they could come out with an iPhone that I could just rub on my pants really fast and use static electricity to charge it.
Perfect.
I would buy that.
That'll be
static electricity charging.
And who would come over the first?
Samsung.
Yes, there you go. One thing that a lot of people are talking about, though, that is pretty impressive. We got to give them some plugs on because it's the technology. Honestly, is the screen. The screen apparently is supposed to be amazing. An OLED display, 1125 by 2436. Super Retina is what they're calling it. So really good, rich colors. Their camera technology is good. Again, we're seeing the same kind of technology on everything from, you know, the Galaxies to the Moto Z even. I mean, all of them have really great cameras now. And it's just funny because I had a talk with somebody who doesn't even use a smartphone. And you know what his question was to me? Make phone calls?
Oh, well, see, that's what people forget now. Nobody even talks on the phone anymore. It's all just text.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And Snapchat.
How many times have you ever, you know, gotten a phone call and you're thinking, busy right now, please text me?
Oh, I just don't answer my phone at all because half the time it starts out with, "Hi, how are you doing today? My from Vacation Ward Center." I'm like, oh, God. And I just hang up because it's a spam call.
Timeshare.
Yeah, exactly.
Face ID, they say that it will be able to change and blah, blah, blah. And, you know,
they say 1 in 1 million can unlock it. I know what's going to happen. You're going to get jealous girlfriends or jealous boyfriends who are going to wait till you're sleeping and they're going to hold your phone in front of your face while you're sleeping. It's going to unlock it.
It used to be all that they had to just grab your finger. Remember that?
Yep.
Or foot.
But this time you don't even have to touch the person. Just hold the phone in front of their face and unlock it. Now you can go and check their stuff. Smart move there, Apple.
I love all of the videos of people trying to open people's phones by taking their finger.
Yeah.
And it works.
That's why
works.
I just stick with the passcode. Yeah, you got to know my passcode.
Rather than having to worry about wireless charging, I would prefer a phone that is going to last longer. Now, they say that the new iPhone 8 will last about 2 hours longer than the 7 did. And the 7 lasted about 2 hours longer than the 6S does, because I get about 2.5, maybe 3 hours of charge out of mine when I use it. If I just leave it there, it's fine. So far, the Galaxy S8 Active is winning. So
yeah, I do got to say, the one good thing about Apple is they do have excellent battery management. You can use your iPhone pretty much all day long, and it'll have a consistent drain to it. Whereas with Android, especially right after you get an OS update, and all your apps have to be re-optimized, the makers have to go in and re-optimize the apps and re-release them to make them use the new operating system. I noticed that, like, after a big update, my battery drains so much quicker. Probably from 95% down to like 45% in just a matter of a few hours, because again, the apps aren't optimized. So Apple does have a definite better battery management, and they've always had that, memory management, battery management. It's always been better on an Apple. So
yeah, I kind of wonder too, this thing about the whole $1,000. That it's funny.
Yeah.
It's funny because that shockingly surprises people. Yet many of these people paid $870 for their smartphones
last year.
Yeah, last year. So I think it's like this. I think a lot of people are going to buy it as a status thing. And I'm not knocking Apple people, because I'm at the 6S. My mind's broken. It's time to get something else. If I don't end up going fully with this Galaxy, I may end up, investing in a phone. If I'm going to invest in one, I'll probably get the iPhone X, the iPhone 10. But $1,000, really, that shouldn't be that shocking. It really shouldn't be.
It is shocking to me, because it seems every year phones are getting more and more expensive, even though the parts that make them are probably getting cheaper and cheaper.
Right.
That's this technology. As technology goes on, parts get cheaper to make, and processes can become easier to make them. And so the companies can save money, yet they just keep charging more and more, which to me just seems like they're just trying to pad their pockets with more and more profit, and something that's it should actually cost a heck of a lot less. First off, granted, you got to understand, the phone itself probably, even the iPhone 10, probably only cost them about $100 to make.
Yeah, one of our
in terms of parts.
One of our blog posts from a couple years ago broke down the cost of making a Samsung. I think when it was in the Galaxy 6, the 6?
Yeah, I think it was the 6.
And they broke it down, and it really wasn't that expensive. And, especially, when you have toddlers making them,
child labor laws.
Sorry. No, but when it breaks it down, it's not that expensive. So, they've got a responsibility to the shareholders. One of the things that was missing, though, is iPad announcements. There was nothing about the iPad.
Yeah.
Did I miss out on that? I didn't catch anything on that. I caught the watch, which I do like. Although I want to see what happens when you get your Tick Watch to see how you like that experience.
Yeah. So the Tick Watch, actually, I did mention this a couple shows ago. This was a Kickstarter project. It is a Android Wear, and it's made by a company that makes, obviously Tick Watch. They're coming out with a new Tick Watch 2, and it's going to run the new latest version of Android Wear, and it should be shipping sometime mid-October. I don't exactly know how quick I got my order in, so I may not get mine until November or even December, really. I don't know.
Right.
But I'm interested to see what that's going to be like. And it's got a lot of features, like the heart rate monitor, all that stuff. So, yeah, that should be pretty cool. And the watch itself was only $179.
What about the new Apple TV that's going to have 4K? Does that excite you at all? I mean, you don't have a 4K television yet, but
I don't have a 4K TV, no.
But if anybody has been out pricing them, oh my God. I don't know what the heck is going on. As Jim Barry from the Consumer Technology Association said with us about a month ago, this is the best time ever to buy a television. He is not wrong. Philips put out a 4K television, 55-inch, that is 120 hertz refresh, which is good,
mm-hmm.
for $388. for $388.
A 55-inch?
55-inch 4K.
Wow.
You know, there's not a lot of 4K programming out there, but my God, for $388, you can't beat that. So I'm thinking, you know, maybe people will say, oh, I want Apple TV in 4K, and they'll spend the money on it. I'm still using the second generation, and I'm fine with it. I like it.
Yeah.
It works. Okay. All right, I'll tell you what, we'll take a quick break. We come back. We've got more to talk about. Equifax, that thing has driven people crazy. I like some of the stuff you shared on your social media as well about that. We'll be back with more of Tech Talk Radio. I'm Andy Taylor.
I'm Justin Lemme. We'll be right back.
Now, back to Tech Talk Radio.
The new iPhone X was released, and Samsung, not to be left out, they announced that they're hoping to release a bendable version of the Galaxy Note that folds in half. Now, here's my question. Can it bend into an iPhone X? If not, I don't care.
Welcome back to Tech Talk Radio. I'm Justin Lemme.
I'm Andy Taylor. Thank you for joining us. Hey, can I give you an update on Barry's laptop?
Sure. You're still doing that, huh?
I told you what the problem was. He was having a problem with the touchscreen. So if you ever, you know, if you have one of those touchscreen laptops that HP have put out, they're really inexpensive. I opened up the lid, and you couldn't do anything. You couldn't move the mouse, couldn't move the trackpad, and you kept getting a little round ring of white that was on the screen. And I realized what that means is, it's like it's getting pushed. Something has gone wrong with the touch sensor, and it keeps thinking the screen's going off, so it'll screw you up. So, and then I found out there were bad sectors on the drive and the whole bit. So Barry, my buddy in California, brought his laptop here, and I went through it. I had to open the laptop just to get to the hard drive, which we talked about, which is crazy design. They should just make it so you can open a couple panels, change out your memory, and change out your hard drive. Why they went with a complete enclosed case, I don't know. But I pulled the drive out. I just said, you know what? It's the only way we're going to get data out of here. So I pulled the drive out. I did turn off the touch panel, which you can do in the control panel. But I got everything off the drive that we could. We missed maybe about 10 gigs worth of data. Sent it into HP and crossed our fingers. And I got to tell you, they were fantastic. HP support ended up replacing the hard drive, replacing the bezel that had broken off after a slight drop. They still replaced it and replaced the touchscreen on it. And I told Barry, I said, hey, if they don't replace the touchscreen because you may have dropped it, don't worry about it. We can buy them for like $56. They're cheap at eBay. But I got to give HP props on that. They took care of it, sent it back. It's been reinstalled, new drive, new screen, new bezel. So but I'm real pleased with that. I'm pleased with
good.
That.
Good. Awesome. I mean,
for somebody who does most of the repairs himself, when I see it get sent to a company, which I've taken care of another problem, and this could help somebody. If you ever have a hard drive that, or not a hard drive, but a laptop, and you plug it in and the power comes on and off, sometimes it just goes off. That can usually relate to a bad battery. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it could be a bad power pack that you have that plugs, you know, your laptop into the wall. You may notice the light might go on and off, or it gets incredibly hot, which is they get warm, they get hot, but not that bad, to the point where your laptop is not going to perform or maybe not even come on. Well, it turned out if you jiggle sometimes, if you're having issues like this and you jiggle the cord at the laptop where it's connected and it's loose, and you'll notice the light will come on, then it'll go off, come on, and go off. That usually means there's a short in the little power port. Well, if it's out of warranty, I found a company that will replace it for about $100. Now, it's powerjackrepair.org. Now, this is something, if you're great with technology, you should be able to do yourself. And some of the power port plugs, they actually have it as a snap-on. Others, they solder it in. But Power Jack Repair will do it for $100. You send them the laptop. They're in Wheeling, Illinois. They replace it and send it back to you. You know, they test it and everything else. If you're so inclined to save a few bucks, you can even, because you're going to have to pull the motherboard out at some point if you're going to do the work yourself, you can pull the motherboard out and send that to them. They'll do it.
Which company is this again?
It's called powerjackrepair.org. So just sent them off one. Again, $60 for them to replace it off the motherboard. It's $100 for them to actually open up your laptop, you know, get down, change the port out and send it back to you. So if you ever have that, you have an old laptop that maybe just stopped working, and no matter what you did, that didn't work. That could be it. May not be the entire motherboard going bad. Could be just that. And if the board is bad and they can't get that port to power it up, they'll go ahead and they'll just send it back to you and you pay for the shipping.
Interesting. So you still have to pay the $100 though for them to look at it.
No, you don't. That's a nice thing. It's okay. They will only charge you for the shipping on that case. In that case, because generally that's usually what it's going to be. But if it's a bad motherboard, they'll let you know and you pay for shipping and everybody's happy.
Good. Okay.
So, not too bad. All right. So we wanted to talk a little bit about this Equifax thing.
Yeah.
This is pretty crazy.
Yeah. So Equifax is one of the top three credit bureaus. You got Equifax, TransUnion, and Experian. Those are the people that, you know, basically are responsible for your credit score. And anytime you need to get credit, they are going, you know, the creditor, the people that are going to give you that money, are going to go to one of those three companies or all three of them, and they're going to look at your credit history. Well, apparently, back in June.
Yeah, it was June or July.
June or July, something like that. Yeah, Equifax was hacked. And apparently it was by two people. It was by two
that
people.
That was it?
They released a statement to these out there saying, we are two people that were just simply trying to better or make our lives work and the lives of our families. We did not intend to get this much data. And we, you know, basically are holding it for ransom. They want ransom in terms of bitcoins. They want 600 bitcoins, which now I think equates to $2.4 million, I think it is, for them to sell the data back to Equifax, which is nothing. But what really upset everybody is not that the fact they got hacked. It was the fact they got hacked back in July and allowed their executives to sell off their stock prior to announcing the hack, which is completely against the law. And I'm pretty sure that's like insider trading type of thing or something. I mean, those guys need to be thrown in prison for that.
That ticked off a lot of people.
Oh my God! And now they're getting sued. There's class action lawsuits. I think they're going to get sued for something. Somewhere I heard something about $75 billion. And then, but they tried to like basically what they tried to do is they say, hey, we got hacked. Click here and enter in some of your information, like the last. Like six of your social or something like that, and your name and email will tell you if you were one of the people that got hacked.
Right.
Well, what it does is when you do that, then it's like, yeah, you were one of the people. Click here to sign up for our free credit monitoring, and we'll take care of this for you. But what people don't realize is if they actually read the terms of service to this little credit monitoring thing, it basically stops you from being able to sue Equifax.
So it takes you out of the ability for a class action.
Yes, you can still sue them. You can't. You'd have to do it on your own. And there was something other interesting about this is their guy that created the there's this bot that he created for, I can't remember the name of the bot right off the top of my head, but it's an application that would it was used to be able to do things like internet and lower your bills automatically. You would just tell this little bot like, "Hey, cancel my Comcast," and it would do it on your behalf. It would be able to contact Comcast and I think it'd be a chat and it would just work through it and cancel your service for you. Well, he was one of the people that got hacked or had his data stolen from Equifax. So he upped the code on this bot. So now you can go to this bot. And again, I cannot remember the name of it.
And it would pass that information to him?
No. What it would do is you tell this bot, automatically sue Equifax for $25,000, which is the max you can sue for in small claims court. This bot will then generate all the forms necessary that you would need to fill out.
Oh, yeah,
and then
yeah.
it would tell you where to mail these forms to have them served to Equifax. Then you just need to show up in small claims court and fight it against Equifax, which may or may not show up because they're going to have hundreds of thousands of lawsuits from people trying to get their money, you know. And I thought about doing it, but I just honestly, I don't have the time.
Well, and that's the thing that really bothered me about right away Equifax. You know, and I can understand a certain amount of time, like July, they find out. I can understand a certain amount of time because, number one, they want to make sure that they close every single loophole, every single problem that caused this hack in the first place for people getting through. They need to make sure that all those doors are closed. I can understand a certain amount of time. But what I didn't understand, like you, was why were these executives selling off stock because they knew it was going to affect their company that bad the longer they held on to it. And here's the thing with these. And people listening may be thinking, well, nobody's charged anything on my card. I'm okay. This is long term. This is not something you may see today or tomorrow or next week or next year. This could sit and fester for 5 years, for 10 years. There are cases where people use the Social Security number as your gateway. There are people that have used Social Security numbers of people that are dead to access information. There was one case recently where somebody was using the Social Security number of a child who died. And the mother found out about it. Mm-hmm. A mother found out, wait a minute, hold on. You know, wait, no, I don't. My child died years ago. My child's not married. And that's, you know, that's how they found out. This is long term. So the idea of going with a year of credit monitoring, that's stupid, number one. Number two, if you are affected, this is not going to be just one thing where all of a sudden you suddenly find out, wait, I don't have an account at, you know, at Citi. Yeah. I don't have an account at Sears. I don't know. Next thing you know, wait a minute, I've got this account. So you've got to fight this all the time. And it's the burden is on you. And if you're not on top of it, if you know people that are not on top of it, if your relatives that have died, if you go in to get medical insurance, medical, because you need a procedure and you're not allowed that because you've already used all of your insurance. You know what I'm saying? It's just, there's so many long-term things that could be affected by this. So it has to be taken seriously. And the fact that these guys sold off some of that, that's what ticked off a lot of people.
Yeah, but there is a bright side to it. According to the hackers, like I said, they released the statement. They have not sold any of this data yet. They're giving Equifax the chance to buy it back from them before they then turn around and sell in the black market, which, again, they may just keep a copy and sell it later on.
Right.
Or they could be stand up and say, you know what? Yeah, we hacked him, but we'll give it back to him for $2.2 million. And then we'll wash our hands of it. You never know. It could go either way. But yes, the fact of the matter is they sold off their stock prior to announcing it. These scumbags need to rot in jail, honestly. But by the way, I did find out the name of that bot. It's an online tool. It's called Do Not Pay. Do Not Pay is one word. And right. It's a free online chat bot that has successfully fought around 375,000 parking tickets. That's what they use it for, is to fight parking tickets.
That's great.
Now you can do it. Now you can sue Equifax for up to $25,000 automatically using the chatbot called Do Not Pay.
Do you think that this will cause companies like TransUnion and Experian and any other company that is that has our data? And the only people that should have it is honestly, I guess, you know, the credit unions have to have it. The banks, your employer, you know, Medicare and all of that stuff. Do you think it's going to cause them to be a little more careful? I mean, I don't know,
you know,
how this obviously happened, number one, but fact is, are they going to use a little better security?
I mean, cybersecurity is ever evolving. It really is. It is always evolving. And yeah, I would like to think that other companies would then get their security a little bit beefed up. But honestly, it seems to be these big, huge companies think they're invincible and they're just like, yeah, when it comes and it happens, we'll just, you know, like these guys did, we'll just sell off our stock and get a golden parachute and we'll just quit the job, you know. Oh, you're firing me. Oh, I'm so scared. I got $45 million severance.
Yeah, it happens to a lot of these CEOs, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I kind of wonder too, you know, this is the thing where people are going to be going back to stuffing cash in their mattress. I mean, that's not safe.
Yeah, seriously.
That's not safe. But
living off the grid and,
You know, or Bitcoin. Bitcoin took a big dump, I guess, recently.
Well, yeah, but it's already come back. Yeah. And there's a lot of people that say Bitcoin is the future of currency because it can be used worldwide. And it's anonymous up to a certain extent.
Pat Boone's still on TV pushing gold. So, you know.
Gold is a precious resource, but it's finite. Bitcoin is infinite. And I don't know. I've never gotten into Bitcoin. I keep hearing more and more and more about it. You know, I don't know. I'll see. It's kind of like a long-term investment type of thing, I guess.
We're going to take a quick break. We come back with more of Tech Talk Radio. We'll talk about some of the tech of the day and some of the stuff. And again, if you have a comment, feel free to leave it. You can tweet it to us at Tech Talk Radio. Send us your comment or call us at 520-204-1754.
We'll be right back.
And now, back to Tech Talk Radio.
Damn computer! It ain't everything!
Even for the internet, it's pretty shocking.
Welcome back to Tech Talk Radio. I am Andy Taylor.
And I'm Justin Lemmy.
You can find us at techtalkradio.com. Check out the website. Subscribe to us on iTunes or Spreaker. You'll actually find all of the links up on our website.
And don't forget Google Play Music.
Oh, yeah. Google Play Music. Gotta love Google Play Music.
Yeah.
I was playing with Bixby on the Samsung Galaxy S8 Active. Am I saying it right? You got to say it the right way.
Bixby,
you know?
I think so.
Yeah, I think that's it. I was playing with Bixby. Is that thing where it has the name, you say the name, and then it will go to the website. And it went to the website, and I was like, well, "That's kind of cool. I like that." So, so I pulled up Tech Talk Radio on Google. All right, very cool. So very interesting data that we have found for those of you that have decided you don't want to be on television cable anymore.
Yeah.
Now, I like it. I like it. But let me tell you, I know I pay quite a bit for my cable. I want to say it's about $160. Now, true, I have phone service and I have the high-speed internet, and we stepped it up a notch. So we're getting a little better connection on our internet. But when it comes to channels, dude, do you know how many times I go to a channel? Oh, I don't have that. Oh,
yeah.
I don't get that.
Yeah.
But if you
upgrade for another $30 a month, we'll give this channel to you plus a bunch of channels you're not going to watch.
It's frustrating because I generally don't move out of the four channels I watch.
Yeah, Lifetime, Hallmark, and ID. Yeah.
But that's about it.
People have been canceling cable and television in favor of going over the air, which is free in every major city. You will have over the air channels for free. Same can't really be said for rural. Rural, you're kind of on your own out there.
Yeah.
HD, and you get your major stations, you know, your CBS, your NBC, ABC, Fox, your PBS, and a bunch of other, you know, low quality stations. Not low quality, but.
Yeah, once in a while you might find out your CBS affiliate might have MeTV.
Have MeTV, Comet TV, This TV, which are like This TV shows old movies.
Yeah.
Comet TV is old TV shows. MeTV is also kind of a little bit combination of both. So there's a lot of those out there. Those are usually on the sub channels. If your channel was 4 for your CBS, 4.2 would be MeTV or 4.3 would be Comet TV or something.
But here's the problem, Justin. People say, wait a minute, I want to cut the cord, but what antenna do I get? I remember in the old days, you'd look down the street, my old street there in Huntington Beach, and you would say everybody's rooftop. And we were near LA, but everybody's rooftop had an antenna on the rooftops. If I go outside right now here in Tucson and I look out the rooftops, my one neighbor next door, he has the antenna. He's the only one on the block.
Yeah, but the thing is you don't need that antenna. And I think people imagine what you're talking about, the huge wire mesh antenna that sits on top of a thing that looks like a radar dish or whatever. No, most HD antennas nowadays, the signals are strong enough that as long as you live in the metropolitan area, your antenna is literally the size of a dinner plate. And it's as thin as a dinner plate, too. You can fit it in your windowsill. But, I mean, they make paper-thin antennas that you can just literally tape to your window. Those are okay. I have one that's a little bit thicker. It's got a little bit more metal inside of it to conduct the RF, and it works great. And then I've got it connected to a signal booster right from there, which helps boost the signal even further so I can plummet throughout my entire home to all my TVs. So that's the over-the-air model. But the thing is a lot of people are cutting the cord, not just for over-the-air, but because there is so much content coming along with Netflix, Hulu, Amazon Prime, Roku. You name it. I mean, there's so many services out there. Showtime, Stars, HBO. They all have their own standalone apps. And you can, for a small fee, you can subscribe to these apps and get their content. That's the big thing, is people are choosing to go more standalone, where they can binge watch things. They can get their content when they want it. They don't need DVRs anymore. They just need to have the streaming service. With internet speeds going up, people are able to do this kind of stuff. And honestly, I think part of the reason why this is all happening is, for decades, people have been complaining to cable and satellite providers, about prices and about the content and about these stupid packages they offer, where you need to upgrade to a $50 more a month package just to get that one channel that you want. Oh, shucks, that's going to cost you an extra $40 a month.
Yeah.
But we'll give you outdoor channel, sportsman channel, and all the other channels you're not going to watch. Fishing channel, aquarium channel.
Aquarium channel.
Yeah. Jungle
channel. I
watched
that for a long time.
Yeah. Yeah. Aquarium channel is just simply an aquarium on your TV constantly. But people have been complaining about this, and they say, we want a la carte. Well, that doesn't really work. To defend the cable companies, it doesn't really work, because these lower viewership stations, they have to pay the cable company to get their station on there, and they yeah. can't afford to pay that much. So they're not going to give these lower, like Pop TV, for instance. Okay, I'm not picking on Pop TV, but it is one of the lower viewership stations.
Well, I don't even know what's on Pop TV.
I don't either. Big Brother After Dark. Big Brother After Dark is on Pop TV, but
it's a can of soda pop. Just yeah. looking at it.
Yeah, just a can of soda pop. Anyway, but no, but the cable providers cannot justify giving these channels out on their main packages because they're not going to make any money off this. These small companies can't pay enough money. So they put these in these bundles with other major stations because they know that people are going to get it for the major station and then possibly watch it for the lower viewership stations. I don't want to say lower quality, but just lower viewership stations, smaller channels.
Yeah.
But people have been complaining for years and years, and cable and satellite providers have not listened to their customers. They keep raising prices and lowering content quality, and right. customer service has gone down to the point where people just got fed up with it and said, you know what? And that's when Netflix came on, and Hulu and Amazon Prime and all these other things. And now cable and satellite companies are going to be scrambling. You know, in fact, the article I was going to reference here is from Variety.
Right.
It talks about in 2017, a total of 22.2 million U.S. adults will have cut the cord on cable satellite TV.
Well, there's
33% from 16. It's up 33% from 16.7 million in 2016.
There's so much programming out there now. I mean, seriously, there's something for everybody. If yeah. you're a hunter, a gamer, you like even video games, you like bowling. I mean, all of this stuff.
Yeah, you can always find anything you want.
Absolutely. And you know, now they're saying that They're actually saying now that some people will actually be creating programming for some of these that they weren't able to do like maybe 7-8 years ago.
Yeah.
So now they can do that. They have the capability of doing that.
And another thing about the paid subscription services is that if you are a paid subscriber, like you were an HBO, like, you know, even if you had cable or satellite, if you had HBO,
right.
HBO, because it was a paid subscription and not a free over the air or free as a part of your basic cable, HBO can swear and they can show nudity and they can do other things that other stations can't. Now that you subscribe to things like Netflix or Hulu, not Hulu, Hulu doesn't do it, Netflix or Amazon Prime, they also have the ability to do that kind of stuff. They can show content that they can't show on normal TV because they don't fall under the same FCC rules right. as traditional broadcasters do.
Yeah, there's been quite a few times where I've seen something on Netflix and I go, whoa, wait a minute.
Yeah, am I on Netflix or am I on CBS?
What is this?
And what is going on here?
And the nice thing is they're attracting, like even Hulu, Netflix, they're attracting some shows that we thought, I don't think we'd ever see on, say, network television because yeah. they can get a larger audience. David Letterman is going to be doing his show. Seinfeld is yep, going to be going to, I think, Amazon, it's called Before Seinfeld, Jerry okay. Seinfeld, Before Seinfeld. Looking forward to that. And, you know, they're limited runs. But, you know, yeah, that's the way we are. We watch shows. That's the way we watch shows.
People's attention spans are very, very short nowadays. And you want your stuff now. And once the series is done, you're done. We don't need to have another Friends where we go, you know, 15 years or whatever, 12 years or whatever it is.
Right.
We don't need to have that anymore. You get two or three seasons, boom, you're out. And you make your money and you go on to another show.
Right.
But, you know, I want to say another fact, not enough a fact, but this is another prediction by this researcher from eMarketer. And it says here, overall, 196 million U.S. adults will have traditional pay TV, like cable or satellite, right. this year, down 2.4% compared to 2016. Now, by 2021, they predict that will drop to only 181 million, 181.7, a decline of nearly 10% from 2016. So right. that in 5 years, they're going to decline by 10%.
Now, I'm on Comcast Xfinity, and they just, you know, they've been doing things to say, stay with us. You know, we want you to be a part of what we're doing. And the reason that they've added, number one, Netflix, which was I thought was kind of a cool thing. So if you had a Netflix account, then you could have it all tied into the same platform.
Mm-hmm.
Now they just this past week have added YouTube. So now you have YouTube, you have Netflix, which also, as somebody that does, you know, video podcasts and stuff like that, we're saying we need to start focusing on YouTube and away from Facebook Live.
Mm.
Because that means a wider audience again for YouTube. And I kind of wonder if that's, you know, that's why a lot of people have been doing Facebook Live, but, and Facebook, you know, YouTube is out there, But it's like, how do you attract? Well, here's a great way to bring people in. So for, yeah. as a video caster, I'm pretty excited about that. So now that's all going to be part of the platform. And you're going to see, you know, Comcast Xfinity doing it. You'll see Time Warner. You'll see Cox. You'll see all of these other carriers of cable content with, you know, to the cord. They're going to be doing the same thing. So well, I don't know. Like, maybe they'll offer more.
It should also be mentioned, like you said right there, a non-traditional cable provider would be something like PlayStation View. It's a new service, you know, that came out. You don't need a PlayStation to have PlayStation View. It can work on Roku, Amazon Fire, Apple TV, but PlayStation View is, or Sling TV. Sling TV, which is owned by Dish.
Right.
But you can provide, you can basically get these smaller packages, kind of almost like a la carte, and you only pay like say $35 a month, and you get all of your local channels in case you don't want to get them over the air, but you get all your local channels and plus a few other like cable networks with streaming quality, which is still, you know, pretty darn good.
I like it. I don't know. You cut. You're fine, right?
I'm done. I don't even look back. I do not ever want to go back.
What do you watch the most?
Honestly, YouTube.
YouTube. See? YouTube.
Yeah.
There
yeah,
you go.
I just, because I got it on my Amazon Fire, and I go to YouTube and I just go, oh, what's some of the, you know, videos happening now? I like the way they kind of refine it based on your search history and things you've watched. So I've watched, you know, things about airplanes, and all of a sudden I'm getting more videos about airplanes. I'm like, oh, I'll watch that today.
Yeah.
You know, and it's nice because, again, my attention span's not that big. So I like a nice little 5-10 minute video, and I'm on to the next thing.
If you do like to do that, a recommendation too for anybody who's thinking about this. Chromecast, the Chromecast from Google is a great way to tie your smartphone to your service, and you could be on Facebook and you could be streaming videos right to your big screen.
See, the
TV.
Thing is, I don't want to use my phone though to have to stream it to my TV. I like to have, like I said, I have the Amazon Fire, which is kind of like an Apple TV. It's a standalone device. It has its own menu with a remote, whereas the Google Chromecast, it doesn't have a remote. It doesn't have a menu. It just kind of is there.
Right.
And whatever you send to it from your PC or your phone, it just pops up, which is nice, easy, but I like to have more control.
They're about
over
price
it.
The same too, aren't they?
No. The Amazon Fire TV is about $100 to get the full one. You can get the Fire TV stick for $50.
Yeah.
And I think the Chromecast, the standard one, is like $20, and I think the 4K model is like $40.
Right. I think it's a little more than that too.
Maybe a little bit more. Yeah.
All right. Here's a quick question. We'll answer it when we come back, and we'll give you a website of the week. Okay. Fewer than half the folks 65 or older have one of these. All right. So I want you to think about that. When we come back, we'll give you the answer. This is Tech Talk Radio. I'm Andy Taylor.
I'm Justin Lemmy, and I'm thinking about the answer to this question. We'll be right back.
And now back to Tech Talk Radio.
Welcome to the internet, my friend. How can I help you?
Welcome back to Tech Talk Radio. I'm Justin Lemmy.
I'm Andy Taylor. Okay, you've been thinking about the question?
Yeah.
All right.
I think I might know the answer.
Fewer than half of the folks 65 and older have one of these. What are they? Fewer than half.
Smartphones?
Smartphones is correct, sir.
Oh.
Yay. Actually,
phones. They have phones. Maybe that's not smartphones.
Yeah. 47% of seniors own a handheld computer, though. But a smart, when it comes to smartphones, 65 and older, they don't do that. A lot of people still use their flip phones, and they're happy with them. They do what they need them to do, and that's to make phone calls.
Yep.
All right, we got a great website of the week for you. You'll have some fun on this. It's products that have gone away.
Yep.
Yeah.
And it's called productgraveyard.com.
Now, if you click through, once you get there, you'll see products. Kind of like, well, Netscape browser. Whatever happened to the Netscape browser? Remember that?
Yeah, that Netscape was bought by AOL.
Right.
And then Internet Explorer took over.
Then Windows Live Messenger. What happened to that?
I don't know about that one. The one I was looking at here, social media.
Delicious. Remember Delicious?
Yeah.
LiveWire.
Yep. Meerkat. Live stream video to all of your Twitter followers.
Oh, yeah.
That one, it says it couldn't, couldn't retain users.
The one right next to that, Digsby, we had them on the show when they first came out. So some of these companies that you see on here have been around for a long time. Some that came out for a couple of years went away. One that I'm finally glad that's gone is Adobe Flash Player.
Oh,
I'm looking at that and I'm thinking, good riddance.
It's not quite gone yet. There are still a lot of sites out there that do still use it.
Which you say, that's kind of crazy there.
Microsoft Link. That was used by a lot of people. It's an internal company messaging program,
oh, yeah.
But it was bought because Microsoft bought it, and then they just turned around and made it called Skype Business. Skype for Business.
Here's one that lasted a few years. Started in 2013. 2017, it died. It was bought by Twitter. It was Vine. And I think you could still use Vine camera stuff to create some Vines, but you just can't post them anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Just share them with your friends. There you go. The product graveyard. .com. That's it for us this week. I'm Andy Taylor.
I'm Justin Lemmy. Thanks for joining us.
Be sure to hit us up on the website at techtalkradio.com. Submit your questions. You can even do them there on the website. Just go to the contact page as well.
Perfect.
All right. Have yourselves a great week. Have yourself a great week, Jonah. Have yourself a great week, Justin. You don't know if you're going to be with us next week, right?
Yeah, I'm going to be on a business trip, so not sure if I'm going to be back in time.
All right, so if you feel like guest hosting, drop me a line. Have yourselves a great week. Take care.
All right, we'll see you later.